going to have a lot of fun. We're going to talk about a lot of different things that typically authors don't get to know and usually have to make a lot of mistakes to find out how they get this information. So, you know, I thank you for mentioning my books. And the reason why I want people to know that I have 10 books published, my two latest books are about face, Traits Tell Tales, and my book on neuro-emotional anti-sabotage technique, which is a mouthful, but it's a book that actually shows people how to reverse every negative emotion they have ever been exposed to. And it's one of the things that I'm going to be using for my school for the kids at risk. So that's one of the things that I love to show people how to do, is to create a book that aligns with their passion so that they're actually able to figure out how to get out into the world and do something that they're passionate about. Because haven't you found that when you have passion about something, it has energy, and then other people get involved, and then it develops its own momentum? And that's what I want everybody to have. Now, I really had talked about writing a book for about 2 years before I wrote my first book. So usually everybody thinks, you know, a book, it's monumental. Sharon Jenkins has two books that she's been part of and another two books that she has that are solo projects. And then we were talking today, and it sounds like, Sharon, you have your third book coming up already. Love it. So, you know, the whole thing that I looked at was, I talked to people that had written a book and it took them 10 years, or, you know, they were a journalist and they worked on their book for, you know, 20 years and then didn't get it published. And I was very fortunate that I had 20 years experience in the printing industry. So a lot of those mysteries were actually not difficult for me. So when somebody says, oh, I have a book, like one of my authors, he was the screenwriter for Prince of Tides, the movie, and then he wrote a book, and for 10 years he couldn't get it published, because what's happened is that most publishers refuse to take on new authors unless they've actually done something that's noteworthy, or, you know, that they have something famous going on in their life. So it makes it very difficult for brand new authors to get published. So I figured out a whole system that helps people not only get the book written, and you're going to see at the end of this class how you can actually download my free ebook on how you can write your book in 1 hour a day, 6 weeks, start to finish, it is done. And I love helping people figure that out, because now, rather than thinking, you know, it's a 2-year project, or, you know, it's a year long project, it's only 6 weeks, including edits. So it really is a lot more simple than people think. And so we're going to talk about, you know, how you get on radio, how you're going to be able to sound like a pro, even though it might be your very first radio interview, how you create joint ventures, what you're going to do to create a platform. And the platform for an author and for a speaker is to be a featured person speaking. So there's a lot of people who speak out in their business community, and I love that because it's great experience. We always call that the animal circuit. So you go to the Rotaries, the Lions, the Kiwanis, and you can speak at the Seroptimus Club, and you get the experience of how to use your body language, how to engage an audience, how to spot people that can be helpful, or those hecklers, how you actually learn to control your environment. And so that's what a platform speaker ends up being able to take that experience and make it so that it's their very own show. And then how you can create an amazing teleseminar series that features you. So I'm launching on Wednesday a whole new program that is just for Australia. We're also going to talk a little bit about social media and how you can get your website ranked in the top 0.1%. And I don't know if all of you realize, but there's 1,200,000,000 websites out there. And for you to be able to rank your website in less than 4 weeks under 1,000,000 would be the equivalent of a company having to pay over $10,000 a month to get that same result. And then we're also going to talk a little bit about membership sites and how you can create more than enough income to actually live very comfortably which is your base, so then you can go out into the world and really do the work that it takes to become an author making six figures plus. So first thing is the radio interviews, and I love radio interviews compared to TV, and I have to say I would not give up my experience of being on Oprah for anything, because that was a real lifetime achievement for me to find that I had a communication style that was included in a book, and Oprah asked that I actually be included when the author was on the show. And a lady that's here in the Bay Area had written a book, and I had given her this concept, so she actually let me write a chapter on communication techniques, because her book is on verbally abusive relationships. So to be on Oprah, there's less than 180,000 people ever that appeared in 25 years on Oprah, and I get to be one of those. And so that's a great thing to have on your resume. And the radio, though, however, is fun because you don't have to leave your home. Like, I had to fly to Chicago, which is fun, and I got to stay at the Mark Hopkins Hotel, which is amazing, and I got to be picked up in limos, and that's all great stuff, and that's all a part of being an author and having that level of visibility. But radio, you get to stay home, and you can be in your pajamas if you want. You can just, you know, be comfortable. And that's what I really enjoy doing, because I can do 4 to 6 radio interviews a month, and I'll sell between 25 and 100 books almost every single interview that I do, with the exception of some of the online radio programs. And then those interviews usually will turn out to be a joint venture, or they might turn out to be a future speaking engagement because of the exposure. So if you do some research, you'll find that you could actually be on the radio 10 to 12 times a day if you wanted to be. And so you can create more than enough income doing just radio interviews. It's really cool. And there's also things like college radio. And the reason I love college radio is that the students are hungry. They're still in that need of education. So there's a whole market out there for college that most authors don't even pay attention to. But a lot of these students are realizing that, you know, having that 4-year degree is not going to get them a job. And now they're looking more towards entrepreneurship. So they're really paying attention. So the college students are in that mode of learning. They're open-minded. They're, you know, they're really a fun group to talk with because of that. And then one of the things that I have found over the years, if you don't take media training, it is really difficult for most people to have a conversation mode. One of the authors that I just interviewed for my radio show about 3-4 weeks ago, I kept having to ask her to keep her answers shorter, because when you're on a radio program, it has to sound like a conversation that you're having with someone, rather than being a speaker at an event where you have the whole stage to yourself. And that's hard for a lot of people to do. So there are many ways that you can actually get some media training, and to make sure that your website has all the information that it needs to have somebody who's going to interview you be comfortable with the information. So I have a website for every book, for every training program I do. I have 38 websites, and I try to keep them up. I do have a virtual assistant that it's a team of people that actually work on specific areas to make sure that the information is going to be easy for the media people to find. So one time I was calling to get a radio interview, and it was a live show in Boston, and they were looking at through my website, and she was so pleased that I had my questions on the site. I had the hook, which is what they are going to say for the day to get people to stop and listen for that show. I had my bio. I had my picture. I had everything in one place. So the producer didn't have to go scrounging around looking for it, or to send me emails to remind me to get it. everything was in one place. So having your website be informative, but being able to have it easily accessed for the media will make a huge difference for you and for them. And you know the thing that's really great? I rarely have to call a radio station anymore because I'm kind of on a callback. All of the producers know they can call me at the last minute, and you know, 99 times out of 100, I can drop what I'm doing and jump on the radio to fill in for maybe somebody who wasn't able to make it, last minute emergencies. So I get a lot of callbacks, and that's a great position to be in. Now, joint ventures, and I don't know if all of you have ever figured out that joint ventures are probably one of the most powerful ways that you can actually build your database. Now, I was taking a teleclass program that was $2,000, and at the very last after-hour class, there were some discussions, and one of the things that was said, I know the person who was running the teleclass didn't mean to answer it, but I put the pieces together and I finally figured it out. You know, people talk about having your database, and that database is king. Like when you have a database of 10,000 people, you can create collateral information which people can just download. So you can have autoresponders that every month that information is downloaded. And I don't know if all of you have ever belonged to a membership site like that, but I've actually belonged to several of them, like a Mark Victor Hansen site and Wayne Dyer site, and paying $75 a month just to get these amazing interviews that I can just pop into, download it to my iPod, and then listen while I'm maybe working out. That is where a lot of authors kind of drop the ball. So when I'm working with an author, I get them to be able to do a joint venture. But the trick is having the person you're interviewing send their database a notice. I'm going to be interviewed by Sharon on Friday at noon. If you want to ask me a question, go to this website. And when they fill out their name, their email, and their question, it comes into my database. So it's bringing in a database from all of these other experts that I'm interviewing. So I'm building my database while I'm creating the intellectual property that will become the membership site collateral. So it's a really great way of being able to develop a lot of information and build your website very rapidly. So the average is typically someone's going to have a database of 2,000 to 10,000 people. And I have never been turned down other than once or twice, I would say. But I have never been turned down with any regularity to have somebody that I've said, may I interview you? In fact, what happens most often, I interview them, and then they turn around and interview me. And it's a great way for both of us to be able to build off of each other's websites. So once you have an interview, I did a series 4 years ago, and September happens to be singles month. So if any of you are thinking about writing anything or doing anything with singles, capitalize on the idea of September being singles month, which is what I did. So my second book is called Making a List and Checking It Twice, What Singles Need to Know. And so I partnered with a man that I met on Facebook, and we contacted 42 people to get 20 people that were willing to let us interview them. They sent out to their database that they're going to be interviewed. We recorded the call. I then burned those 22 interviews to CDs and have an entire series with experts from all over the country who are on radio shows for singles, they're authors, TV shows, amazing people, including Ask Allie, which is the largest singles syndicated news column. It's in USA Today every Saturday. And I was so impressed with how open-minded people are about just helping out and doing an interview. So that's a wonderful thing to do. Now, what I did, though, is I actually burned my interview. I had Bill actually interview me, and I burned 10, 12 copies at a time, and I give those away for drawings when I'm speaking to a singles group. And the reason I do that is that I pass my I have a silver box and I pass it around and people put their business cards in, and then I draw from those business cards and give away CDs throughout the presentation, and those cards now become part of my database. So I'm always looking for a way of building my database. It has to be in the forefront of your mind that the database is what will drive you for a long time in sustainable income. And I think as an author, it's really important to do, because it does free you up to do some of the other things that you can do. Now, there are authors and celebrities and bloggers and people that you can find in social media that are more than willing to actually be interviewed by you. And one of the things that I love is that you can go to Amazon.com and you can actually find authors that are writing about the same thing that you are, and then you find their website, and on their website it tells you how to get a hold of them. You can find their name almost always on Facebook or LinkedIn. One of the sites that I love to use is David Rankin's group, which is called Self Growth, S-E-L-F, growth.com, because it is a whole list of people who are experts, but they're categorized by industry. And those people are always looking for connections, so it's a great website for being able to build joint ventures. Now, I was talking about platforms and what that takes, and as an author, it's really vital to the level of expertise that you create as your image to have a platform that people begin to recognize your name. And I literally can go anywhere in the Bay Area and speak, and somebody in the audience has already heard me. I mean, it's because I've been speaking since 1992, it's one of those things that becomes part of, you know, your own collateral information to gain the credibility. The more you speak, the more people know you. And I probably have spoke to more than 100,000 people just in the Bay Area. And because of that, I've been able to parlay that into major speaking engagements at conferences, at trade shows, breakout sessions. But to be able to do that, number one, you have to have really good speaking skills. If you haven't taken classes on learning how to be a speaker, that's a great place to get started. Even to this day, I look at going to at least one major speaker training program every single year, because it's not anymore like I'm going to, you know, hear something that's earth-shattering, but the people I meet at those events or being reminded of something that I need to do. Like one event that I went to was a Gove Siebel event, and it was held in Denver, Colorado. And it was a 3-day event, and I would say the one thing that I learned while I was there, and this is kind of hard thinking it's a 3-day event, but I loved being around the people, and it was a small group. There was only 20 of us. And the thing that I learned was something that Bill Gove, who is one of the co-founders of Toastmasters, taught speakers to do, which is every 30 to 60 seconds, you should be able to have people laughing, near tears, or some aha reaction, so that your presentation should be good enough to be entertainment on stage in Las Vegas. And he truly was a master at this. But that's the kind of thing that takes practice, and why I always recommend that you use the social organizations like the Rotary Lions and Kiwanis and Seroptimus. And most people don't know this, but the Seroptimus organizations, it's a women's philanthropic group, and you can't find them on a website, but you can find them in the Chamber of Commerce directories. They pay between $50 and $100 to bring in speakers. And when you have a book, it makes you an expert. When you have competition and you're the only one that has a book, you're the one that's going to get booked for that speaking engagement, or you will get new clients because you're the one who has the book. So using your book as a business card, using your book to give you that credibility in the community is really valuable, and you will be amazed at the doors that will open. I always tell my authors that selling the book is only 5% of the revenue, and all of these other things that we do are what create the 100,000 plus a year. And what you can do when you're speaking is record what you're speaking, and now you have another product that you can actually burn to a CD. I actually found a company that will not only burn the CD, but put the label on it for $1 a CD, and then I sell my CDs for $20, so that's a really great profit margin. Now, one of the things that you want to do is make sure you know how to connect with your audience, what you can do to engage your audience so that they're going to feel like you're talking directly to them. I've met a lot of speakers. You can hear them in Atlanta, Chicago, San Francisco, and 15 minutes after they've started speaking, they're saying exactly the same thing. Those are public speakers. Professional speakers are more impromptu. They'll customize a presentation for an audience. They react to the audience. They know when an audience is connecting with them. And if the audience isn't connecting, they adjust their presentation spontaneously so that they have that level of connection that will make the audience have that rapport. Like, I was speaking over at the East West Bookstore in Mountain View, and there were only 44 people in the room, but it was the first time that I actually sold 50% of the audience, and that's phenomenal. If you can actually sell more than 25% of the audience, you're doing really good as a speaker. But part of it is content, part of it is the way you connect with your audience. So learning these skills is really important. And then how you do your back of the room sales techniques. I have a client that I had since 1992, and he started selling for the Fred Pryor programs, and he had the worst record of selling back of the room for Fred Pryor. And so I worked with him for a little bit, and what I found was that he would point to the product, but he wouldn't actually, you know, refer to the product and why it was important. And one of the classes that I had gone to for speaking, they actually teach you how to hold up your book or hold up your CD and talk about why on page 156 this information is important for every single person in this room, and it engages people. Another person that I had gone to a training, he talked about the event organizer wouldn't let him sell his book. He was there just to do the keynote. So he ended up talking about his book, holding the book up, showing them how on page 74, this was the information that they were looking for. And at the end of the event, probably a quarter of the audience came up and asked to buy the book. And he said, "I'm sorry, but the event organizer said that I couldn't sell my books." And they went to the event organizer and said, "We want to buy this book." And so the event organizer came back to him and said, "I don't know what you did, but all these people want it. We have to keep the audience happy." And another thing that he had done at a different event is he actually passed the books out on the chairs before people came in. And it was amazing. He said he rarely loses a book, but when he asked people to pick it up and refer to page 35 and they open up and they start reading, he said then they want to buy the book because he's relating to the information in the book. Now, one thing that I learned this last year, which has been just a huge resource for me, was having an event planner. So I have a person who actually books my speaking engagements, creates an event wrapped around my book to make me the featured platform speaker, and then brings in four or five other speakers. So between all of us, we get more momentum. And then we can create an event where the event planner gets 60%, I get 40%, and we're all really happy because we've created something that has that kind of momentum. And I'm not sure how many authors realize the value in trade shows. There's a website that I refer to constantly because they have trade shows listed as far as 2 years out. And if you find a trade show that uses your industry, so it could be for health, it could be for education, it could be for fiction writers, whatever you're interested in, you go to this website. It's TSNN, as in Nelly, TradeShowNationalNetwork.com. Fill out your profile, and then when you find a trade show that fits your industry profile, your area of interest, you can go and find out who the event organizer is and then apply to be a speaker and start out with being a breakout session, and eventually you'll end up as a keynote. But typically the breakout sessions start at $2,500 for an hour, and there's not very many authors who actually make $2,500 an hour. So that's a great place to start focusing. And I have some of my authors that they will go to a trade show. I get them to negotiate having their own booth, part of being a breakout session. And not all of the breakout session people get that, but in asking, you can actually arrange to get a lot more than other people. So that's a wonderful way to get not only the visibility, but then you're able to create programs where you can have private clients that come out of those breakout sessions. So if you're going to create a teleseminar series, which I absolutely love, so the one that I'm doing for Australia, you have to learn how to create an enticement. What makes people want to come back week after week, like the one that we did for the singles groups? Now, we were very fortunate that the people we were interviewing, they were well known, so they had a lot of traffic already and people who were really interested in hearing a private interview. So you want to know how to create that enticement to get people to come back. And the rule of thumb is generally a 6 to 8 week at the longest, but 6 weeks is actually better than 8 weeks, because some reason after that 6 week time period, people start getting distracted and forget to listen to the last 2 weeks. So if you can keep it 4 to 6 weeks, it's even better. So your topic, you want to make it timely. You want to have it educational and entertaining. So we usually call that edutainment. And then having it be a series so that there's a flow. There's a beginning, a middle, and an end. And you're always able to get people to download the information. You become comfortable with that. We were talking about virtual assistants. The company that I use will actually set up the interview times. They'll confirm it. They'll record it. They'll create the text version of it. So you can actually have product from having these teleseminar series. You always want to have a handout. There's, in fact, any of you that want a copy of this handout so you can see the outline form of what we're talking about tonight, you'll be able to email me and I'll make sure that you get it. And always make sure that you're recording it so that you have something to have as another product. And then always offer a giveaway, because that's a great way to get people to go to your database. And I'm going to have all of you be able to go to my website so that you can get the free ebook. And there's probably a half a dozen articles on that website already for you to look at. Now, I know most of you have to be using social media, because you can't even survive in business anymore if you're not using social media. So one of the things that I'm doing is I have my Facebook personal profile, but I also have 6 fan pages, I have 5 groups and event pages, and the events might back up a speaking engagement that I have going on. The groups I love, because you can add people to your group, and if they opt out, that's okay, but you can actually control the amount of people much easier than you can if you have a fan page, because you have to ask people to like the page, and I don't know why, but most people just don't bother to go back and do the like on a fan page. There are programs that you can actually use that will help you get more likes, which are really great. I use LinkedIn. You're looking for connections there, and I probably have a little over 1,100 connections on LinkedIn and 4,700 friends on Facebook. I actually went over the limit on Facebook, and it took me an entire month of, if I had 10, 15 minutes, I'd have to go in there and clean up all the people who no longer had active profiles, but Facebook made those active friends. So there was about 6 people over a 4-year time period who had deleted their profile, but overnight, the 1st of July, all of a sudden, we had, you know, all these people who no longer were there were counting as friends, so I exceeded my limit. So I finally got it back down to 4,700. And then I actually have 7 Twitter accounts, and you have to be very specific. It's like using YouTube. You have to have a YouTube channel with video, your own video. You can do it through recording your screen. But somehow I use the flip video, which is my favorite way of doing it, creating little vignettes or when I'm speaking. I have my event planner take little vignettes of me speaking, and then I put them up on the website. I put them on my YouTube account. And that's a great way of being able to feed your site video, because that will help in your ranking drastically. So my top two Twitter accounts, I have 7,900 and 8,500 followers. And you want to make sure that there's a way of having more people following you than people you are following. So that's a great thing to do. And then to also use hashtags. So if you're writing fiction, you would use hashtag, which is the pound sign, and then fiction, and then actually write your 140 character tweet, because when you do that, other people who are interested in fiction will actually be able to find you even if they're not following you. And then Google Plus, I'm still fairly new at Google Plus. I have a few more than 500 connections on Google Plus. They're actually circles and categories, and I'm finding that a lot of people that I'm connected with at Facebook are also on Google Plus. But the thing that I like about Google Plus is there's a lot of people that are famous that are using Google Plus that I've never seen on Facebook, and they're using it on a regular basis. And then Pinterest, I've only just started using it, although I've had the Pinterest account for about 7 months, but I just haven't used it that much. But there's likes and pins, and then you can repin things. And I'm still kind of looking at why that's going to be important, but you know, that has to settle in, because literally it seems to me like every month there's a new social media site out there, and everybody thinks that you want to be on every single thing, and at some point you have to just say, I'm at my limit, I can't do it, or hire the virtual assistant to do it for you, because you could spend all of your time just looking at social media sites. And I want to go back to LinkedIn. Where I found LinkedIn to be superior is in their groups. So I can actually find groups that are author related, or for my singles book, there are singles groups, and I can make comments and I can use a backlink. So I will mention my book site in part of the signature. When somebody asks a question, I will use my name and my website, and that gives me a backlink to a site that has a lot of clout, like LinkedIn or Facebook or any of the major sites, even Google+. Never write anything that you don't include your website, because that's what will give you the high ranking for backlinks. Now, in blogging, and I'm a big fan of blogging, although I had actually heard about blogging probably 10 years ago, but didn't really do anything with it until 4 years ago. And I pulled 28 of my websites and made them WordPress blogs. I typically will take at least one teleseminar every single week. Last week was crazy. I did 5 in one day, but it was information that I needed. And then I take that information and I pass it on to my clients. And I'm always looking for ways of having more traffic, selling more books, making authors have more productivity. And so I think it's really important that all of us do continuing education. So building the blogs, what I found is there is a routine, and I've been able to take every single website, all of my author's sites, and in 4 to 6 weeks get those sites ranked under a million. And I mentioned earlier that typically you would have to pay between $5,000 and $10,000 a month as a company to get your website with that ranking, but WordPress blogs have so much search engine optimization built into it, that's the SEO, that your sites actually will get to that level using specific plugins. It's a great thing that's happened for a lot of the entrepreneurs out there, that we don't actually have to have that money being poured into a website. And the great thing about a blog is it's personal, and it builds personal relationships, and people will come back, they'll sign up for the RSS feed from your blog because they don't want to miss your post. And then I tie my blog post and my Twitter accounts together. So if I'm doing a tweet, it shows up on my blog. And when I do a blog post, it actually goes out in a tweet. So people who are following me, they get notified that I have just put another blog post on my site. Great ways of being able to connect with people who want to follow you. And the ranking, it's a very simple process of knowing that you're blogging about something that has relevancy, that there's a consistency. Like in the first 3 months, it's important that you blog every single day and you get your ranking up there. And then to hold a ranking, you're typically only having to blog about once a week. But you're also doing an article, you're doing a video, you're using tweets, and you can do all of that in less than an hour a week. It is so amazing how easy it is. And then using social media to get the backlinks to your blog and all the specific plugins and categories, the tags, which is what all of the search engines will actually find your blog posts by, the tags and the titles that you're using. And then again, you want to make sure that you're putting your YouTube videos that you're doing either from a flip video or whatever. Even the iPhone videos are just amazing now. And then having videos being posted at least once a week to your site. So search engine submissions. I use HostGator as a web host because they actually have built into the cPanel, the back end of the website, they have search engine submissions, because it used to be you could actually just find the three top ones, which are Google, Yahoo, and Bing, and submit your site and you're done. Well, for some reason, they've decided to hide those submission pages, and you can't do that anymore. So you really need to have a web host that supports that search engine optimization, because that's one of the things that will help you get higher rankings. And then something that I discovered quite by accident, you can find the Real Simple Syndication RSS feed from other websites and put them onto your website. And if they're high ranking, like Blog Talk Radio is a high ranking site, and probably 100 times a day somebody is posting on Blog Talk about their show, and if that happens to have relevancy to your site, it will pop into your website as though you just added a post. And when you can have 3 to 5 new RSS feeds from different sources popping into your site every day, you're going to be amazed at the traffic rankings increase, because it looks like you're posting all of the time when it's somebody else's information that's showing up. So membership site material, this is one of the most powerful ways for authors and speakers to gain an income that they don't have to work for once it's been created. So you create your speaking engagements and you record them. You're creating joint ventures where you're interviewing people. You do your radio interviews and you get the recordings of the interviews. Your college interviews, you can actually create those. You can find colleagues through the selfgrowth.com and Amazon and some of the other sites, even on Facebook. I mean, Facebook has just been the most amazing resource, because you can find people who do anything on Facebook. And you take those colleague interviews and you create part of your membership site material. And then you can also take those interviews and convert them to an ebook. Sharon and I were talking earlier today about Dragon Naturally Speaking, and she mentioned that Staples has Dragon Naturally Speaking for $29, and it has evolved so drastically that you can actually take an audio file and it will immediately convert it to a text file in the background while you're doing something else, and then all you have to do is massage that text to make it into a really nice ebook. And then you want to do that in a Word document, and then you can convert it to a PDF, and the PDF file is what keeps the text document firmly in place. Add a cover, add a back cover, have it create your table of contents, And now you've got a really nice professional looking ebook. You can also use white papers if you happen to be doing an article series or you're releasing information about content that is relevant to your area of interest. Those papers are wonderful to be able to release on a membership site. And then all you have to do is create a series of autoresponders so that when someone signs up in July, they're receiving the first audio program or the first ebook version. And then in August, they get the second. But if somebody signs up in August, automatically they're getting the first one. And so you can set up the autoresponders so that as soon as someone signs up, they get the first one, and then every month later, they're getting the next one. And even PayPal allows you to send up recurring membership signups, and that's a great way for you to be able to have monthly income coming in. So we're kind of winding down, and before I tell you a little bit more about the program, what I wanted to do, Sharon, is open it up for questions, see if anyone has specific questions. I still believe, according to the national statistics, only 4% of books are in electronic form. We still want to have those books available in an ebook or available for Kindle or any of the electronic versions. But what I would suggest, and if you use my name, you will find this is a really easy thing to do. You want to go to Mira, M-I-R-A, digital.com and ask for Anne or Jill, and they will walk you through a process where you only have to get 25 books at a time. The average 6x9 book, 200 pages, is about $5 a book. It takes about 10 days on the average to get your book once you've submitted it.